Y'all ready for this?
Thought you might enjoy a little bit of 5 minutes of funk. Yeah, I remember that. Linda, wise guy, Linda, cracking jokes over here.
Everyone should clap. Yeah, wow, man. I'm impressed.
Five minutes of funk. And it was back in the day. That's 80s, late 80s?
It was the
80s. Mid-80s, late 80s?
Probably
yeah.
Like
87. Yeah, I was there. Let me just tell you this. Because you didn't come here for this, but I'm going to let you leave with it. I can start the party. And I can shut it down. We go all night long. I got one good knee left. I can start the party and shut it down. I don't know if Kevin can dance or not. I don't know if he slipped you $5 when you came in to say that. I don't know how it went down.
I wish.
But let me just tell you this. I can dance. Now, I don't know if I ain't never seen. I just have to this vision of Kevin dancing.
Here's the deal, Bill. Well, Rock said I can golf. Linda said I can dance.
Did you say that?
I did say that.
Thank you. You just want to not be a believer, man. So you're a hater. What can I say?
Let me tell you what you need to do as women. Stay yourself out of Aliquippa.
I can agree
look,
with.
I didn't want to go there.
Have you been to Aliquippa?
You better back off, man.
But stay
yourself. Better back off.
You know, Aliquippa, you be laying flat on the
concrete.
You
better back off.
So it's dangerous in Aliquippa.
So, that's where you're from, Aliquippa?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, okay. Oh,
yeah. You heard about what's going on out there, right?
Oh, yeah.
I've read something.
People,
we can't help it. Just like any other place, Linda. A small number of people. You know, making noise. That's all that is about.
Yeah, the woman gets... The woman, and I'm not making fun of the deceased, not at all, but the woman is murdered. Now, the police chief is friends with that. They fire the police chief, then they give another policeman a job.
Hold on.
They fired the new one, too.
They fired the new one, too. And then there's all kind of stuff.
You know,
but you got Mike Ditka and Tony
Dorsey.
You got all of them, but I'm just saying.
I mean, we just talked about
Ty Law,
a person.
Ty Law.
But where's Mike Ditka when you need him? Where's Ditka when the crime is being committed?
A small number of people.
Oh, my God.
Make things bad. What can I say? What can I say? So talk about all the great things.
Well, here's what we can talk about.
About Aliquippa.
Penn Hills has more swimming titles than Aliquippa has football
Who
titles.
Who cares about swimming?
Penn Hills has more gymnastic titles than Aliquippa has basketball titles.
People barely
Y'all
swim
Y'all got
anyway.
Two sports you playing out there. We got football,
whatever.
Basketball, wrestling, track, probably the greatest track team in the history of the WPIL. I know because I was there.
Yeah,
Do we have any golf titles in Penn Hills, Rock?
No.
Okay, just asking.
Zero.
You know, I'm going to contact.
Does.
Look,
I'm going to contact Merriam Webster, okay, the dictionary people, and right by the word hater, I want a picture
of me.
I want your picture.
I don't hate nobody. Look, I know the ladies are probably at their edge of having heard so much about the exciting world of golf that we're going to let them get out of here. But before you guys go. I do want you to talk a little bit about yourself, your classes, and what's your personal investment in running your classes. So where do you operate your classes? How can people join your classes? How can they get in touch with you if you want to let everybody know?
Well, I have several classes throughout the week, Monday through Thursday. On Mondays, I'm at Hosanna House from 6:30 to 7:30. That's a Zumba class. Tuesdays, Crunch Fitness. I teach a 5:30-pound class, 6 o'clock, belly, butt, and thighs, which is really intense. I'm ready to go take a nap. Wednesday at Crunch Fitness in Moreauville is another Zumba class.
Oh, Lord.
And then Thursday I'm at the club in Moreauville for a pound class at 7:30. So
those are all the reasons that you can walk that walk.
Everyone should be able to walk that walk, mm-hmm. in my opinion. My Facebook page is Linus Fit Pittsburgh, LINESS, as in female lion. That's what they call me. Fit, FIT, in Pittsburgh. So
Where
anyone
did you get
can,
that name from, Linda?
So something you probably don't know about me. I've carried that name for a long time. I'm the only girl in my family. My my father's only daughter. I have four brothers. So
okay.
being the only girl, I was called the queen of the house. And then you add on my afro, what used to be an afro, and I got the name Lioness. My daughter always said I look like a lion. And I also ride a Harley Davidson.
Wow.
And I'm in the Sin City Angels Bike Club.
I didn't know that.
And that is my name in the club as well, Lioness.
Girl, you got all kinds
of skills. And it goes with my personality.
Yeah, yeah, okay.
Anyone who knows me knows it's fitting of my personality. So, yeah. But that is my Facebook page, Lioness Fit Pittsburgh. And, you know, anyone can come in and take the first class for free to see how it is, see if they like it. And I promise you'll like it, and you'll be back. So.
And phone number, email, whatever you want them to use to contact you?
My email, this is an interesting one, but it's aaraqq1@gmail.com.
You do it one more time.
aaraqq1@gmail.com.
And come get fit with you.
Come get fit with me.
Now, let me just say something about Sin City Motorcycle Club. Contrary to popular belief or assumption or presumption, a lot of great people in that club.
Yes.
They do a lot of good things. You know, motorcycle clubs tend to get a bad rap off the gate. And I've
You mean they're not going to bars fighting?
You would very rarely see Sin City in bars.
I'm just saying, you said they get a bad rap. You said
we're not going to comments like that. Yeah, yeah. And you know what? That is the perception that a lot of people get about bike clubs, that they're hoodlums and gangsters. People say bike gangs. I'm not in a gang.
Yeah,
I ride a motorcycle. Harley Davidson's or the Harley Davidson motorcycle are very nice motorcycles. And you know, in our club, the majority of our members, that's what they ride on.
And a lot of your members are professionals.
I know a lot of professionals.
A lot of the guys in the club, and always the presumption of Sin City
business owners,
the club. But no, they've done a lot of charity stuff and Toys for Tots fundraising and parades and a host of things. So you get a lot
of that across all of the bike clubs.
For the most part,
you get that charity, and it's something that's very important, especially, you know, our club is in Homewood, and that's our community, and that's where I was born, and that's where I grew up. So it is always important, you know, wherever your association is, that you give back to your community. And that's one of the reasons why I've agreed to be a professional model.
Cool.
Because we're giving back.
Which club actually had a racial issue with a local establishment here? Was that the group?
The casino.
Where they wouldn't
allow them to have an event? I'm not sure, but I doubt that it
I
was
don't,
ours.
No, I don't think it was since. I'm pretty sure it wasn't Sin City. The casino.
I thought it was a bike group.
It was a motorcycle group for sure. But what group is Mungin in? Is he?
Rough Riders.
Yeah, that's who it was, because Mungin was part of it, who I used to coach when he was a kid and knew his dad real well. But they had a thing where the casino tried to shut it down sooner than they were supposed to.
Oh, I do remember that. That's the Rough Riders.
And they went to great lengths to make amends for that, I can assure you. So you and all of that are going to be at the show.
Yes.
So I trust that you're bringing some of the members and the bikers and bring everybody you can to the show. Now let's get the wrap up from Aaron. And Aaron, tell people exactly what you do and how they can get in touch with you if you want them to, need them to.
Well,
let me ask the question. Are you at the point of doing therapy for people yet now?
No, not yet. Okay. I still have about a year and a half left. So you can't help
Rock's bad knee right now. Legally.
I can give you some pointers.
But you can't. You're not like that karate guy.
And you slap it and
rub it and make it better. You're not. It's not like that. Huh?
No. Nope.
But as she's looking at my leg.
Right.
Hey, these legs have seen a lot of miles.
But I just want to say thank you though for having me on the show. This was a really nice experience. So thank you. Appreciate it.
Cool.
But I can't let them get away with that. See, Rocky's talking about your knees. He needs to be talking about
our knees. I said our knees have seen a lot of mileage. Absolutely. I'm glad to be able to walk from point A to point B, so I ain't complaining, believe me. But, well, we're glad to have you ladies here, and what we Trevin just gave you some information to take away with you. So Kevin, before you walk out, is going to tell you how to exercise this, and while doing so, he'll be telling our listening audience once again how to get to Soul Take Champions Live.
Again, you can go to urbanmediatoday.com. And also, so again, we come to you every Wednesday evening from 7 to 9 p.m. And again, that's urbanmediatoday.com. And you can also connect with us on Twitter. And you can connect at Soul Take Champions Live at STCL Sports. Soul Take Champions Live at STCL Sports.
All right, so there you have it. So hopefully you ladies will be able to share that with all your family and friends, and it will help further ignite our show across the country and get people tuned in and make sure everybody knows that if they miss it on Wednesday, it is, as they say, in the clouds. So you can find it anytime. So you'll be able to hear all the wonderful things you had to say here, even some of those things you said, Linda, that I didn't appreciate. It's all going to be out there. So it will be as it was. So we appreciate you having you coming here, but we're going to stick around and talk some more sports. So, you know, the room was as cute as it's been, I guess, since we started this show. I don't know that the room's been any cuter, but we thank the ladies from Sensation Models coming by and having fun with us, and they fit right in. That goes without saying. And, you know, we've been talking a lot about the Pittsburgh Pirates, but, Rock, you just made mention that, I mean, certainly, Kevin's position has been from the gate. They're perpetrators, they're not legit, and they're not going to win much of anything down the stretch. And he even offered that coming out the gate, they got lucky with the schedule and got to play some of the lowly teams and hit a hot streak and roll through it. And but, you know, in baseball, it is cyclical. It will come around, and once they find out who you are and what you are and what you do, how to pitch to you and all that kind of stuff. So aside from golf, you are a baseball guy. So you just offered that your assessment is that the Pirates are not for real and not really a good team, and the worst is yet to come.
I don't know if the worst is yet to come, but what I saw yesterday, even though they won the game 1-0, I didn't see. I saw a couple of ground balls hit, and the player's not running it out. Now, I'm old school. Any ball that's hitting the ground, you got to be hustling because you never know what happens. Mm-hmm. And I saw a couple times where the players just jogged down the first. And that, to me, on a professional level, is unsatisfactory.
Yeah, unacceptable. And Polanco has been hit with that tag a couple times.
But I saw Marte doing it.
So you got to, for me, and you talk about old school, you got to put that on the coach first and foremost. I mean, yeah, it's the player's responsibility, no doubt about it. But a coach has a responsibility to make sure that doesn't happen twice. It might happen once for whatever reason, but that ain't going to happen twice.
Yeah, they should be hustling.
Yeah. Well, and I also noticed, too, that almost every game you're expecting a mistake. Almost every game, you know, when you start saying to yourself, bases loaded, we're not going to get a run. When you start saying those kind of things because you know and anticipate the worst of the circumstances in the situation, it doesn't speak well. I think the one thing that they are, and the one thing that ownership expects them to be, is entertaining. They're entertaining, and it brings people to the ballpark. And lowest numbers, I think, in the last 4 years in terms of attendance, but people go to the ballpark because it's the best ballpark in America, and the wings are great, and they have a good time. But, Kevin, well,
man, I feel that field is beautiful.
It's a beautiful place.
And the thing I asked my wife,
am I ever going to get my money?
Your bet was with her, not me.
Is your wife ever going to? Your wife and my dad refused to pay up.
Didn't I tell you when you made
yeah,
that
you
bet?
Did. Yeah,
don't
did.
Do it, Bill.
Yeah,
don't
did.
Do it.
Yeah, you did.
Don't do
well,
it.
I put
Bill.
Her out on national radio. Rock's wife owes me money.
And back to the ball game. A couple weeks ago when I was here, you asked a question or I think Kevin mentioned something about Josh Harrison. And the interesting thing that I noticed, he made a fantastic play yesterday. on a ground ball. But I noticed that coming out of the dugout, he is always the last one on the field. I found that to be interesting since he plays second base. Like, why are you always the last one on the field? I'm just throwing it out there. I play second base. I was always the first one on the field because I was hustling to my position.
So you're suggesting that there's no hustle there?
My question is why? Why are you?
Because he's the guy that hustles. Or he's the guy that gets after it, I should say.
He gets after it. Yeah. But I'm starting. I don't know if it's something that's dwelling in the clubhouse, in the mind. When you don't come out there with that zeal, that hustle, I'm glad to be here. I'm a professional and come out here.
Well, now, to that point, he has been soft-spoken, outspoken. He hasn't been outspoken, outspoken, but he's made a few comments along the way, beginning with, if we're not going to put a championship team here, you might as well trade me, and those kinds of subliminal messages that he's offered. So maybe there is something going on that doesn't ignite him thoroughly. But let me just offer this to you guys. Rock, you're a Hall of Fame baseball player, and Kevin's a baseball aficionado, or so he says. I mean, he tells me stuff that I have to accept because I can't prove it. Is it simply a matter of needing another ace, two good relievers, and a bat? Is that all we need to be a contender?
Let's take them one by one.
All right, please do.
Another ace. First of all, we don't have an ace.
Well, I'm just saying. Every team has an ace, Kevin.
We do not have an ace. Do we have an ace, Rob?
No.
Thank you.
Every team has an ace.
We do not have an ace.
Move on.
We do not have an ace.
Well, who's our number one guy?
We don't have one. We started off with Nova, and it went down from there.
So we don't have a guy that we recognize as the number one pitcher.
We really don't.
That's correct.
Yeah, and what was your second point?
Well, I was going to offer. I'm just being devil's advocate.
And the closure scared me yesterday, even though he was throwing 96, 97 miles an hour.
Vasquez?
Yeah.
Well, he's blown enough saves so far anyway.
I was just trying to play devil's advocate because, like I told you, I go to the park because the tickets are complimentary and the wings are good.
Oh,
but
yeah.
my thing was, if we had another flamethrower that can really take people out with some K's, if we had one or two other confident, assured relievers, and if we had a bat, if we had another bat that can knock some balls out the park, is that all we need to make this team a contender? If so, that's not asking for a lot.
No, you need much more than that. You need players that will be able to keep things together through the marathon season. The Pirates have a lot of good talent, okay? They really do, but they do not know how to put it all together. And we talked about this many times before. It really starts with pitching, okay? Starting pitching as well as the bullpen. And right now, when you do not have a strong team, what happens a lot, you could get one component going, and then the other component isn't there when you need it. So throughout the season, the starting pitching, to give you an example, the starting pitching on Monday night was great. The Pirates won 1-0, okay?
They had 10 Ks.
And it was a good thing that the pitching was great because the bats were not there, okay? And then the bullpen. So when you're starting pitching isn't doing well, you need the bullpen to be strong. And again, the Pirates just can't put it all together in more games to actually win throughout the year. And that's the problem. And it all goes back to the strategy of the Pittsburgh Pirates, the management, their strategy. They want to get second-tier players and hope that they catch fire to be competitive, and you just can't win that way.
I agree.
Well, the numbers speak for themselves. A fair number of people have not drunk the juice, if you will.
So I'm not by myself, Bill.
Drank the juice. Well, the numbers say that you're not by yourself because attendance is down, apathy is up, disbelievers are abundant. And there's still a fair number of people to go to the games because it's America's game, or allegedly so. And people like, especially in Pittsburgh, there's not a ton of things to do in the summer. And it's one of the things you get to do. And it's certainly not a cheap venture, but it's not exorbitant. So, you know, it is what it is. And now I'll tell you one guy that believes in the Pirates.
Mm-hmm.
The skipper believes in the Pirates. The coach of the Pirates believes in the Pirates. And he speaks about it. He speaks matter-of-factly. And he speaks directly to the media about what he believes. Like, he believes in Polanco. He believes he'll come around. Speaking of which, how do you guys feel about Meadows? This rotation thing that's going on with Polanco and Meadows, and you know, rotating these guys in the outfield. Should somebody be sent down?
Well, Austin Meadows is a very good player.
Yeah, he's proven it. Proven that he doesn't need to be sent back down.
Right.
Put him in left field.
You are in a position. I think the Pirates are in a position. They need to play their best players, period, to give them the best opportunity to win. Stop tinkering and put the players in there that are going to play. Because I tell you what, there's not really anything better to make you competitive than to have a competitor, a true competitor, where you know if I do not perform, I'm going to lose playing time. But if you know it's going to be a rotation or a platoon situation, that's not really motivating you to perform.
Right. Well, time will tell, certainly. And the Pirates have a lot more season ahead of them. And the one thing I will tell you is this, at least in a little bit of defense of the Pirates, they do give you that glimmer. They do give you that glimmer. They do give you that, I want to go back again. They dangle enough in front of you
to
keep you coming.
Let's go back to Meadows and Polanco and the platoon situation. If Mike Tomlin was in this position, what do you think his response would be?
Next man up.
Yeah, next man up.
Close.
Best player plays.
Close. Yeah. Close, you're getting there. But I'm telling you, my boy Mike Tomlin would say, two dogs, one bone. Am I right? How many times have you heard that?
Let's fight for it. Huh?
That's it. Huh? Two dogs, one bone. He's not all about that platoon stuff. Yeah. You know, hey, whoever is the best player will play. And that's what Clint Hurdle needs to do. Put the best players on the team.
Well, now, how
on the field.
How do you execute that in baseball? Because now, let me, you know, you might be able to exercise that easier in football because you have a daily practice that can be demonstrated in. Can you necessarily do that without baseball players being able to play to show you that they're the best player? In other words, you say, Meadows, you're playing 10 games. Polanco, you're playing 10 games. Whoever has the best 10 games is my guy. Is that how you do it?
I wouldn't even go 10 games. I would say it's yours to lose. You can play 50 games if you keep producing. This other guy, he's only going to play when you're not performing. What you think, Rock?
I think Josh Harris is a utility player that can play everywhere. So therefore, what I would do is find a place for Meadows. I would find a place for Meadows.
I agree with that.
And give him a real opportunity. Polanco scares me. Fly ball was hit the right field, and I'm up there saying to my wife, catch it, catch it, catch it, please catch it. He's a professional. And it was to me scary. He got a cannon of an arm.
Yeah.
When he's on when he's swinging, but he scares me.
But I think we're $32 million contract with Polanco.
Yeah,
you just can't disregard him. You can't send that kind of money down the AAA. I mean, how do you solve this problem? And Kevin's point is well taken. Play the best players, and to your point about Meadows. Young Hung Chung Ho, who's the guy?
He's not ready yet.
Is he's coming back? He has a bat. If he gets back in the groove, he had an effective bat.
Gong.
Yes. So
it's his name.
I think they have some decisions they have to make, and maybe competition is the answer.
And when you came in today, Bill, you had some tickets in your hand. What tickets did you have in your hands?
I have tickets. And I'm glad you brought that up, Kev, because any one of our listeners that want to get their hands on four complimentary tickets to the Pittsburgh Pirates-Arizona Diamondbacks baseball game on Friday night, need only to call me at 412-628-4856. Tickets are yours. Compliments to the Pittsburgh Pirates.
I don't think you'll get too many calls, Bill.
Are you sure you don't want the tickets?
I'm just putting it out there, man.
Are you sure you don't want the tickets?
You know, the Pirates' attendance, I just don't know what to say about
it. Well, here's what you can say.
It's down.
Here's what you can say.
Major League Baseball attendance is down.
That too.
But here's what you can
say.
Says a lot.
Here's what you can say. In 23 days, it ain't going to matter because the Steelers go to training camp. That's what you can say. In 23
it's
days.
It's going to get worse, right?
In 23 days, a whole lot of people ain't going to care. And that's been kind of an annual thing. When the Steelers get revved up, it's showtime. It's about going up to a training camp and dusting off your Steeler gear and getting ready to get ready. Because Stairway to Seven is in full effect once again. Well, look, once again, 412-628-4856. If you want to get on board with the Pittsburgh Pirates, the tickets are yours if you call. And in as much as you'll hear this show tomorrow night, you got Thursday to get in touch with me and be a part of the happenings at PNC Park, the best-looking park in America.
Hey, Bill, also I want to say is I'm really pulling for the Pittsburgh Pirates for two reasons.
I am, too.
I'm a hometown guy, and I want Kevin Camry's donation along with what was that other guy who was going to contribute?
Mark.
If the Pirates make the playoff,
Mark White it is Mark, who you're referring
isn't
to.
Isn't that the essence of fan?
Yeah.
That like you and I agree, going to the game, supporting the team even when they're losing. But Kevin is
just a true fan.
That's a true fan. In lieu of all the surrounding circumstances, I'm going to support my team because the players aren't the cause of the effect. They're giving you the best that they got.
Yes.
You know what, Rock? No one, I don't care who you are, no one will take advantage of me. All right? No one. And last week, do you know what I suggested the new colors of the Pittsburgh Pirates to be?
What color?
Black and fool's gold. Okay? Because they're pulling the wool over so many people's eyes. But people are starting to get smart, though. Because they're not going to the games. And I told you that from the beginning. So when we come back on the other side, too, Bill, I want to talk about the San Francisco Giants closer, Hunter Strickland. He pulled the LeBron James. And I'll explain that when we come back.
Well, we will be back. There'll be more Soul Take Champions Live in just a few minutes.
Tune in weeknights at 8 p.m. for The Nightcap, your favorite slow jams for lovers. Or maybe you want to sit back, relax, and unwind. After a long day at work, you'll need a nightcap. So relax. We'll handle the rest. It's The Nightcap on Urban Media Today Radio.
Man, finally some music I can relate to. Because that, what was that popsicle's name you was playing the first time that front?
I'll give you the information after the show.
You got to tell me.
After the show.
You
got
to tell me. Look, all right, so you wanted to come back to something going on out in San Francisco.
Yeah, my man, Hunter Strickland, the San Francisco Giants closer. And I mentioned he pulled the LeBron James, and this is where he pulled the LeBron James. But LeBron still played now. This guy here, he's going to be sidelined 6 to 8 weeks after he fractured his right hand while punching the door Monday night when he blew a save. So, you know, players need to learn. You know, you could be frustrated But don't harm yourself in a process. Now he's going to be out 6 to 8 weeks.
Well, that's that goes under the title stupid.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's
take money back. That's slow it down.
Yeah. Well.
And who knows what was the guy in baseball, Wally, the guy that was replaced and never came back? Wally Pipp?
Pipp. I believe it was Wally Pipp that was not seen again for 2,000.
Exactly.
695
so, hey,
games.
You never know. Yeah. You never know. And who's to say he'll be able to throw once he's back anyway? Exactly.
That goes into your crazy sports moment list.
Yeah.
To be
exactly.
sure.
And while we're talking about it, what about from a golf perspective? Didn't Rory McIlroy have a similar situation, doing something he shouldn't have been doing, playing soccer?
Yeah.
End up messing up his leg or foot somehow, and he was out for
his knee
for almost a year, right?
You know, and this is a little bit of a sidebar, and we've all been engaged in some kind of sport activity and some kind of community activity, and I'm sure we all had our fights growing up. I've never been so angry or so pushed in the streets or on the football field, and I was a defensive tackle. I've never been so angry that I wanted to do harm
to yourself,
to myself, or to anyone else after the game. I mean, and I'm going to link that into a couple other things. I've never been so angry in my life, and I'm divorced, and my wife left me.
Uh-huh.
It wasn't my choice. She left me. I'll put it out there. That I wanted to get a gun and go find her and whoever else she was with. You know, these guys, this guy rolled up on somebody in a shopping center and crashed into the car and shot his ex in the car. You got the other guy, you're still looking for the woman's body. I ain't never been that damn mad at nobody that I'm going to take myself out or spend the rest of my life in jail. It's just, but I guess it's a state of mind that you can obviously be pushed to.
Yeah, right, right. And you know, while we're talking about this too, I'll just share a story from high school.
Does it involve a train?
You know, a football, no, not at all. So a football story, okay. I have a cousin, I'm not going to say his name, but he was a outstanding football player, running back. And when he played, they had a pretty good team. And I played football as well. I played for one school. He played for another school. And, you know, Friday nights, you really don't get a chance to see the other team play. And for that particular weekend, I just happened to be available because they played on Saturday. And I went to see him play. He had a real good game. I'm not talking about my cousin went to Division I to play football. Okay, just to throw it out there.
Pitt number 33?
No, not Pitt number 33. not Tony Dorsey.
Narrow it down.
It happened at Hopewell High School, though. It happened at Hopewell High School.
All right.
So it was a real close game, and they ended up losing. He was so mad. Coming off the field, he found the first thing available. And you know those big horns that the cheerleaders blow in?
Yeah, yeah.
So he saw that walking off the field and calls himself kicking it. Kicking the horn, he kicked it and kicked a hole in it. And he had the horn still on his leg, walking off the field trying to kick the horn off his leg. And everybody's just looking at him. So I think at the end, the school ended up getting in touch with his team, and he had to end up paying
but
for that
you realize,
cheerleading
of course,
horn.
You now might as well give his name.
No,
because
no.
Everybody
I won't
remembers
do that.
That is, everybody
that's
remembers.
Enough. The people that know us know who it is.
All right,
Let me just put it out there.
Well, look, we're going to swing the microphone to some NBA talk, which all of us are very familiar with, and I'm going to give you the lead on this, Kev, but I do want to offer leading in with this. So last week in the new Pittsburgh Courier, for which I am a sports writer, and we do want to throw kudos out more and more, Kev, that this show is co-sponsored by the new Pittsburgh Courier, and we thank Rod Dawes and Stephen Broadus and Rob Jones for all their backup support. But the new Pittsburgh Courier, the oldest black publication in America, wholeheartedly supports this show. But I wrote in my column last week, cleaning up the whole LeBron thing, LeBron got swept. JR is still looking. Last thing you seen JR, he's walking down some street in Cleveland. He still don't know what time it is, how much time left in the game.
He got his shirt on?
Yeah, he got his shirt on. So I cleaned all that up with that. And then I just went off into a tangent. For all of you LeBron lovers out there that know I'm a LeBron hater, but don't get it twisted. I don't hate the man as a person. I'm a LeBron hater as a basketball fan. So don't get all crazy about it. And that's
even more crazy, as I indicated before.
And people have their choices. I went on record to name the five greatest players of all time. And I can only speak for me. So I wrote in the paper, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, greatest of all time.
I agree.
Wilt Chamberlain, second greatest of all time. And those parts are interchangeable. But statistically, Wilt falls short of Kareem just a bit. Michael Jordan, third greatest player of all time. Magic Johnson, fourth greatest player of all time. And then I concluded my five-man list with the great Julius Winfield Irving III, a.k.a. Dr. J. And I got a call from a cat that said I must
five,
be...
The five again, real quick?
Kareem, Wilt, the Big Dipper, Magic Johnson, Michael Jordan, Magic Johnson, and Dr. J.
And no LeBron.
No, did you hear me say LeBron?
No, I just wanted you to say it again.
Did you doze off?
Just to make sure I didn't miss it.
LeBron did not make my top five. I said it out loud. So I get a phone call from Dwight Law, who in fact has agreed to be on the show next week, because I told him, you need to quit talking behind closed doors and put your stuff out on the air. So he's coming in next week. He calls me and wants to know what kind of prescription I'm on, and did they overdose me or something? I said, what are you talking about? He said, you don't have LeBron in your... I said, no, I don't have LeBron in my top five. He's a Magic Johnson, Michael Jordan wannabe. And he got swept. So we go back
and forth. And I told you he would get swept.
And we go back and forth on that for a minute. And then he says, and then Dwight Law, ladies and gentlemen, Dwight Law of Law Funeral Home, Dwight Law says, I'll do you one better. Dwight Law tells me he'll take Larry Bird before he takes Dr. J. To which I said, you're smelling too much formaldehyde in the basement of your funeral home. There ain't no way in the world I'm taking Larry Bird over Julius Irving. To which I will remind the world, have you forgotten that the world came to a stop when Dr. J was on television? Why World of Sports did a two-hour feature on Dr. J before features were even fashionable. That Dr. J is the greatest player in ABA history. You could argue that the ABA and NBA merged because of Dr. J.
Yeah.
The $6 million man, greatest player of all time. His stats don't get bore out in his total accomplishments because some of them are in the ABA and some in the NBA. But comparably, he's right there in the top five stat-wise. I'll take Dr. J over LeBron, and I'll take Dr. J in a deep coma over Larry Bird. Now, it's your show.
Wow, Bill. So, again, hey, Rock, I just want your opinion on this from last week. And you could just give me one. But, Bill, also, since we're talking top five, we went top five all-time NBA franchises or teams. Number one, all time. Who would you say?
Boston.
Thank you. Say it again, Rock.
Boston.
And he tried to say the Lakers because he's a Lakers fan.
Lakers would be number two.
And my boy John Bell, he agreed. He listened to the show, and he agreed with me as well. And he said, I'm not sure what your co-host is talking about. So, Bill, I just don't know what to say. You're out there by yourself.
Well, I'm not by myself. There are plenty of people that think the Lakers are the greatest team of all time.
How many championships did the Boston Celtics win in a row?
Well, listen.
11.
Thank you, Rock. And you're going to try to say the Lakers are better than a team that won 11 championships. That's like trying to say someone at the collegiate level is better, had a better team or a better run than UCLA.
I don't.
Am I right? If memory, you can't say that.
If memory serves me right, they didn't win 11 in a row. If memory serves me right.
It may have been nine.
Yeah, they won 11 collectively, and
Bill Russell.
And the Bill Russell 11th one was him as a player coach.
It was so many, it was hard to keep up with.
But I'm not arguing that they won 11. I'm simply saying, in my opinion, the greatest basketball team of all time, I said the greatest team of all time.
I said
the greatest team was the Magic Johnson Showtime Lakers. That's what I said.
No, I agree with
that. I didn't say historically. Obviously, the one with the most rings is...
No, the greatest team.
The greatest team was the Magic Johnson.
The run, not 1 year.
No, I'm talking about the greatest team one year. Is the greatest team I ever saw was the Magic Johnson.
No, I agree.
I'm not changing. You obviously didn't understand what
I
was saying.
Well, I said that last week.
Well, but you say a lot of different stuff. And then sometimes, Kev, I got to confess something here.
Go ahead.
I've never said this on air, but I'm going to confess this, and I'm going to apologize.
Okay.
But sometimes I do doze off when you're talking. I mean, I do. I mean, sometimes I
that's why you don't have the knowledge.
Sometimes I go war on you and I slip in the darkness when you're talking.
Yeah, that's why you don't have the knowledge, and that's why you say what you say.
When you did the golf dissertation, the ladies went into a deep coma. So, I mean, I'm just saying sometimes that's what happens. You know, it reminds me of being on the train with that lady looking at me, man.
Try to stay up so you can get the knowledge.
All right, so go ahead with the NBA talk, man.
Well, let's talk about...
What about what I said? Where are you putting? Who's your top five?
My top five is definitely LeBron.
You got LeBron number one?
No, give me your top five.
I need it in order. Give me your top five in order.
I don't do orders.
Okay, well, this is my game. I need you to play by my rules. Well, give me your top
five. Go
ahead,
Rock. Give him your five.
Yeah, but he needs the time to get... I'm not going one through five.
He ain't quick like that. I'm telling you, there's no way you can say someone was better than someone else in another era.
It's easily done. Go ahead.
I think Kareem was the number one player.
Thank you.
Ever.
Thank you.
And then my second is Bill Russell.
Okay.
My third is Michael.
Okay.
My fourth is the Doctor.
Ooh.
And my fifth is LeBron.
Will doesn't make your top five.
Nope.
So some people will think that's crazy.
Nope.
Some people would think that's crazy, but that's a great top five as well. But you're taking the guy who scored 100 points out the top five?
That's one game.
No, and he had numerous 70s and 60s and 50s.
I know.
And then in the year that they said Wilt stopped scoring, he led the league in assists the next year.
Are you ready for mine?
Finally.
In no particular order?
Did you have to go online?
And no, not
Did
at
you
all.
Have to go online
not
to
at
get
all.
It? Are me and Rock a little too quick for you here?
No, Kareem, Russell, Jordan, LeBron, and Will.
All right, yeah. I almost picked the same thing I did.
Well, he had to hear what you had to say.
I think I left Magic out.
So did I.
Okay.
How do you guys?
I had the Doctor.
Do you think you can leave Magic Johnson out?
Definitely. Yes. Top five.
Yes.
Ooh. Top five. I mean, you're talking about
three. You say
that
easily, like it's like that's easy.
You're talking about three of the greatest big men that play basketball. So you have to have them. And then you're talking about some of the most dynamic impact players that put their teams on their shoulders to win championships with Michael Jordan and
nobody
LeBron
greater
James.
Than that than Magic Johnson. Magic Johnson, I don't know how you leave Magic Johnson.
He had a lot of help.
Yeah, they all had a lot of help. And Bill Russell played with five Hall of Famers.
He didn't have much help.
Bill Russell played with five Hall of Famers.
He made them Hall of Famers.
Well, one could say that John Havlicek contributed to his own Hall of Fame greatness. I don't know, but that's a good argument. But go ahead with the rest of your but will you agree with me that you're definitely taking Dr. J before you take Larry Bird?
Oh, no doubt.
Because neither one of you mentioned Larry Bird.
Oh, yeah.
So Dwight Law's position.
And I loved Larry Bird.
Larry Bird
I was
could
a
play.
Big Boston Celtics
he
fan
could
growing up.
He could play. You were a what?
I was a big Boston Celtics
Why
fan
does that
growing
not
up.
Surprise me? Why does that not surprise me?
My teams won. The Pittsburgh Steelers, the Pittsburgh Pirates, Pitt, football, and the Boston Celtics.
Right.
Thank you. Right. Thank you. All right, so let's talk about today's NBA. Let's talk about Kawhi Leonard for the San Antonio Spurs. So according to multiple reports, he's looking for a trade, fellas. What do you think? Think he'll be traded?
Not in the West.
Where would it be a good fit?
It won't be in the West. I'd like to see him go to Philadelphia.
I think he's, based on what I'm hearing, he's looking to go for or to a big market. Philadelphia would fit that requirement if that's what he's looking for.
Well, I said back when the injury thing was going on, and especially when one or two of his teammates offered, they had the same injury, and they came back way sooner than Leonard came back. So I said then that there's something brewing in the front office or back office or somewhere where clearly there's something else going on here other than injury. So I think they want him gone.
Is that right?
I think they want him gone. Wow. I think Pop wants him gone and can deal without the aggravation. And no one man, I'm sure if anybody exemplifies this, no one man is bigger than the team would be Pop. So I could see him gone. And, yeah, he's got to go to the East. You don't want him in the West doing damage to you because he'll be fueled by that trade. And, you know, it really depends on what they can get for him and from where. So, you know, what team can afford to give up something that they really won't miss, or is it going to be left to the draft? But I don't think Philly's given up any one of their first seven players. And Philadelphia is going to be a major contender next year, although I don't see them winning the East.
Right.
I still think they're 2 years away from solidifying that great team if they stay together. But Boston is the formidable team coming out of the East. Indiana will challenge, and Toronto will challenge. I think Boston is especially if LeBron leaves Cleveland, Boston is a team that wins, and Kyrie Irving is back after his movie debut. But where he would go, I haven't answered the question. You know, maybe they teach him a lesson if LeBron leaves Cleveland. Maybe they send him to Cleveland to teach him a lesson.
And let's do this as well. I would like to get our producer, Trev, in on this conversation as well. And he's actually co-host for Urban Media Today Talk Sports. And that comes on every Saturday at 8 a.m. and 6 p.m. So, Trev, what do you think?
I don't want to see Kawhi in Philly.
You don't?
No. Because I don't know if Kawhi will be ready when Kawhi comes back. There's too many question marks about Kawhi, about the conditioning that he's going through during this rehab. So Philadelphia doesn't need any more questions about stars and injuries. Markel Fultz, when you look at him, he's still not developing. And I don't know if it's the training staff in Philadelphia. I don't know what's going on in Philly, but Philadelphia does not need another injured player. What Philadelphia needs to do is bank on this draft and see if they can pick up a great player coming out of this draft. I would love to see Trae Young end up in Philadelphia, and that's the star shooting guard or point guard, however way you see it. That's coming out of Oklahoma because he's been compared to Steph Curry, and I think that him in the same backcourt with J.J. Redick could make some things happen in Philly. Kawhi Leonard, I don't know, Bill. I don't know if his value would decrease because of this injury thing. Because remember, when he comes back to whatever team he comes back to, he's going to have to prove himself. Mm-hmm. And I don't think it would be fair to Kawhi to put him in a large market, like Kev said, and put all that pressure on him to be the superstar. Now, and we all have seen he's been the man that could lock down LeBron James. If anybody could, Kawhi Leonard came the closest to doing it. People might say Kevin Durant. I don't see that. But Kawhi Leonard, when you watch that series, when they played in the playoffs before, Kawhi did a job on LeBron.
Well, what about my man from Golden State?
Who's that? Andre Iguodala?
Exactly. I mean, he was known for locking down LeBron James to a certain extent.
Right, but and I totally agree with that. But if you gentlemen remember seeing – Bill, how long ago was that? Was that 4 years ago, San Antonio, Cleveland? And they were in the playoffs.
When they swept them?
They swept them, and they were in the playoffs. But Kawhi Leonard was the man. Everybody left that series talking about Kawhi Leonard playing on LeBron James because they never saw anybody do what Kawhi did to LeBron.
But I think the bigger problem is, what does Kawhi want? Is he – I don't think it's the injury any longer. Yeah. I think it's a state of mind. Where does he want to be? Does he want to come back? I mean, I think some of his teammates threw him under the bus by saying –
They did.
The guy's not really hurt. He don't want to be here, you know. Then he's got to go because he's a cancer in the locker room. And I think that was a greater part. The mental was a greater part than the physical.
And let me ask you, gentlemen,
I think Kawhi will leave a lot of money on the table too.
Does he have a choice?
If he were to leave.
Does he have a choice, though? Because when you think about it, again, Kev, and you watch him play, too, he's going to have the star moniker on his back no matter where he goes. And if what you're saying, Bill, is, yes, the expectation is going to be up here, extremely high. If he's not mentally prepared, that's going to ruin him.
Well, let's not discount another rumor that's being floated that Pop would love to have LeBron. LeBron going to San Antonio is not out of the question. Maybe that becomes a trade opportunity.
They don't win it, though.
But that's been suggested. Now, I think LeBron's going to the Lakers. I've said that all along. I think his wife or girlfriend, I think it's his wife. Is it his wife? I think his wife made several social media kind of references to houses and this, that, and the other. Not that that matters absolutely, but Pillow Talk is a powerful conversation. So I think he's going to the Lakers. I think he's going to Magic, where he wants to be with the guy that he wants to be. And I think all that Tinseltown brings along with it is where LeBron wants to be now. Lights, action, camera, life after basketball, and not a better place to go. Although I said on several occasions, and I can't speak for LeBron certainly, why not go to the Knicks and build your own dynasty? Build your own fame and fortune. Be in the Big Apple. Boom. Be all that, you know, but that's just idle conversation. I think he's going to the Lakers.
Well, here's a nugget for you, gentlemen. And I don't know if you listened to our show last weekend, but Vince Butts is pretty much on his game when it comes to the NBA. And he's introduced a nugget to Ray and I that LeBron James' son, if you followed up on the publicity behind him, is supposed to be attending an infamous high school in California where there are two more NBA stars' sons who are already there. So if that's any indication as to where LeBron may end up, it could be there so that he can watch his son in California, in Los Angeles.
Yep. Because heretofore, he hasn't had much of an opportunity to do the family thing. So
that should be very interesting. I still say he'll go to Houston. LeBron James, if I'm not mistaken, is 33 years old.
32, I think.
I don't think he's interested in trying to develop something. I think he wants to go somewhere where it's an automatic championship contender to overthrow Golden State.
But Kev,
so that's why I'm saying Houston.
But that's why I'm saying he's going to stay in the East, though.
Okay, but we're at in the East. You're saying Philly.
Philly.
Okay. Okay, but Bill, that was
so
that
he
would,
takes over in Philly. He takes over the control of the ball.
He can take over.
I'm saying you're saying that if he goes to Philly, they got to put the ball in his hands. He's going to be the facilitator, and that's why I say he's not going to Houston, because he's got a share in everything in Houston.
Golden State, their star share, right?
Yeah, but he's not going to Golden
it's
State.
It's a different type of team.
He's going to. I'm saying what it takes to win an NBA championship.
What I'm saying is that may be true, but Kevin Durant didn't have one. He has two. So his going to L.A. could be more personal than going to Houston and having to share everything. Limelight, basketball, points, time, all that's got to be shared on a star-studded team. If I've already got three titles, I'll go to the Lakers, the history, the dynasty, the greatness, Magic Johnson, Tinseltown, and I'll
yeah,
go
there.
Yeah,
but you got to have some players, though.
They'll come.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
They'll come.
Who's going to go with them?
Well, you know, they've got the makings of
JR.
But think about this.
JR's ass in the parking lot.
If LeBron were to go after what LeBron just did with the Cleveland Cavaliers this season in the finals, NBA finals, if he were to go to L.A.
Say it.
And build that team from what they have. Now, they have some good players, but L.A. doesn't have any super, super, superstars, Lonzo Ball included. If LeBron were to go to L.A. and make that work with the players that they have,
he'll legitimize his
legacy. Yes,
he'll be anointed.
So we'll,
and don't forget this, Kev, just to offer to what this Trev just said. Don't forget, he's still the man. Whatever team he's on, the chances of them winning just increased 100-fold wherever he goes.
Except coming out of that West.
So would you like him if he goes to the Lakers finally?
I got some soul searching to do, Kev. That causes me to do some.
You might even put him on your top five all time.
No, my top five all time is stabilized.
Wow. Okay. Well, we'll see.
The most
time
vicious
will tell, right?
Dunk. Now tell me, we've seen some dunks, right? And there's been top 100 dunks, top 20 dunks, top 10 dunks. That Dr. J dunk on Bill Walton is a masterpiece. That Dr. J dunk on Bill Walton is just, I can watch it over and over like again.
You don't like the one Michael on Ewing?
Yeah, that's a great dunk. That's a great, when he faked back and came back, that's came a great back. Dunk. Yeah, that's a great dunk. Yeah, I mean, there's been some great dunks, and Vince Carter's dunk.
But that
Dr. J, when they put that boy in slow motion and he's going up, looks like he's going all the way to the sky and comes down on Walton, who was no slouch at the time. That Dr. J. I went around and around with Dwight, just reminding him, man, you got to remember, we forget. It's been a while. What's it been? 20 years? 25 years?
25.
We forget how devastating Dr. J was. And he was doing stuff that only Connie Hawkins and Elgin Baylor had done in schoolyards. Mm-hmm. Nobody had seen the stuff Dr. J was doing.
Yeah.
It was just
he was
incredible,
the
phenomenal, and just...
Yeah.
Yeah, I just think his greatness gets lost a little bit. But when you revisit Dr. J highlights, man, and then we had a little bit of an argument about Maravich versus Curry. I take Maravich over Curry.
Okay.
Oh, man, I wouldn't.
Well, that's a whole different discussion. And
that sure is.
we have less than 2 minutes. And
time Rock wants to say something, you cut him off.
I want
to
make sure.
Rock wants to say something,
you cut him off. Hey, it's draft time in the NBA, and I want to make sure we get a little bit in on the draft that will be coming up this Thursday, June 21st, in Brooklyn, New York. And the number one player people are talking about is DeAndre Ayton, center out of Arizona. He's 19 years old. And, you know, he's supposed to be number one. He averaged over 20 points a game and over 11 rebounds per game as well. A 7-footer.
Different world in the next level.
Different world?
Different world in the next level.
So the Suns have the number one pick, and they're saying that they'll go ahead and pick him. And someone else I wanted to mention, because his stock kind of dropped a little, Trae Young out of Oklahoma. Probably midway through the basketball year.
Is that the shooting guard you were talking about, Trae? Mm-hmm.
So he was projected to really go high. Now they're kind of backing off of Trae Young, so it'll be interesting to see exactly where he goes.
How about the boy out of Kentucky?
If you're Phoenix and you need to reestablish some positioning, are you taking a 19-year-old kid that has all that promise, to be sure, or are you going to go get yourself a bona fide cat that can play right now? I need a right now player in Phoenix. Phoenix don't need somebody that's going to keep.
Well, if
them.
He's that good, I think he'll be worth the investment.
He's that good in high school. Yeah. But
no, he's in college.
I mean, in college.
He played one year of college
ball. It does not make a. Look, that's why I'm sitting here with you guys.
Tell Kevin Durant that.
I mean, he was a freak.
How tall is Kevin Durant?
6'11".
How old was he?
I guess he was 19.
Same thing, LeBron.
Except he was a little lighter in the pants.
Yeah. I don't know, but I'm just saying, if you're Phoenix, is this the player you want right now?
So I'm not sure if you were talking about Shai Gilgeous-Alexander from Kentucky, point guard. He's projected to go to the Hornets, Carolina.
What pick?
What pick? The 11th. So I'm not sure if that's the individual you were talking about or not, but we got to wrap this thing up, Bill.
Well, you know, not a better time to wrap it up than who's going to do what and when. So we'll continue this conversation next week. But the conversation was great, and we certainly enjoyed having the lovely ladies here to spruce up the joint. And glad Rock came in and got you straightened out about the error of your ways and predictions about golf and whatnot. And it was good to have. And then, if I remember correctly, the ladies agreed with me almost everything. So
delusional, Bill. Yeah, you're delusional.
Apparently, that was all worth it. So, look, for you listeners out there, please know that I'm on my way down to Amtrak to get another train. And I may or may not see you next week. Until then, remember, champions aren't born, they're made.
Soul.
The champ is here.
Champions Live is the name. Talking sports is our game.
To advertise on Urban Media Today and Urban Media Today Radio, call 412-424-7045. Urban Media Today is an online blog magazine specializing in urban lifestyle, finance, entertainment, HBCU sports, and more, with 24/7 exposure and online exclusives. Email editor at urbanmediatoday.com or call 412-424-7045.